Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own assistant. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. We are wrapping up season two with today's episode number 10, and this is going to be a fun one, you guys. I'm very excited because we had the idea to do VA stories from behind the scenes, and this is kind of our first foray into sharing with you some of the experiences that we've picked up along the way, working with dozens and hundreds of clients between us. And so we'll get started. So the first one I have is reactive versus proactive clients and how that shows up for all of us. Because I've had both. And let me tell you, in other episodes, we've talked about working to emergencies, and there's a reason why we say it's better not to work to emergencies, because we've all had clients that have done just that. And yeah, I don't know about y'all, but it aged me some. I'm pretty sure some of my wisdom sparkles in my hair are from those moments. So does anyone have one that they would like to share about working to emergencies?
I can. I've had a few of those where like people just like to work at the last minute. And I know some people think that they thrive on that last minute thing or things like that. But for example, we had somebody who was wanting to do like a challenge, like a 15-day or 12-day challenge or whatever on their topic. And we tried to build out as much as we could ahead of time, but we were always stuck waiting for the pieces that we couldn't do. Like there's information that we needed from them and things like that. And it always fell off their list. And it became the point where it was like, literally like things were trying, like we're working overtime into the night before to try and get things ready for the next day. And then things, mistakes are being made because when you're rushing, you're missing stuff. The steps that you're usually checking or whatever, you don't have time to double check things. You don't have time for this. And it just felt like every day we were waiting for all the things and then we wouldn't get them to like the end of our day. And then we'd finally get the information and then it was all for the next day. And there were so many mistakes and so many things. And it felt really horrible on our side too, right? Like I felt like I wasn't doing a good service. We're all exhausted because now we're all anxious, like that anxiety energy that you're holding it all day. You can't sleep at night because now I'm stressed. And I was like, I can't hold all of this in for somebody else's thing. Like it was too much for me. It was too much for my team members. And we just decided like we need to either have it all ready, like have an end date that it has to all be ready before we launch it, or we can't be part of it, or there's got to be some allowances or things that are set in place, because working that way wasn't good for the client and it wasn't good for us. It was, I don't like lose-lose. I like win-win-win. So how do we set that up?
I've let clients go because I can't want more for their business than they want for themselves. And that shows up in the amount of work that they put into it. And I didn't really understand it from the client side until I had to get stuff to Sydney in a time frame for them to get it back to me and all of that. And that's when I really learned about that accountability piece. And yeah, there is a lot of things that we do for clients that are just not ours to control. And it has to come from the client. It has to be as important to them as us doing a good job is for them. And that's giving us that space to do a good job, because I've had moments where I didn't have time to check the links on things. And then you have to do that. Hey, we're sorry, the links didn't work. Here's the updated link. And then like, it kind of felt like it was my work that was in question, even though It wasn't, and that's not how I like to show up, and I don't think any of us like to show up that way. And like the clients were okay with it because they understood where it came from, but it's still like, I'm a professional, you guys. That's not how I operate. Like, so.
Yeah, I've had a few clients who work to emergencies versus planning it out. I've had one that I did have to let go because it was almost like their work was done, therefore magically my work is done. Does that make sense? So like they were doing their work up to what they needed to hand it off to me, but there was no time for me to do my work. So it became a problem where I was working nights, I was working weekends, and it was not a good situation because what I felt that I needed to get done for their business, they weren't allowing me to do my job. Because if it was due at 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning, I was getting it at, you know, 7-8 o'clock Monday night. Well, that's a problem because I'm, you know, I have a life too. So they ended up, the final straw was them showing up on my doorstep on a weekend, uninvited and unannounced, to hand off some work. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is not, no, we're done. This can't continue. Just because it was an emergency for them that had to be done right then doesn't make it an emergency for me if they didn't plan properly.
I think there's like a home goods plaque about that. Like an emergency on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it, yes.
But I also think for VAs, it takes some time to establish those boundaries from having experience through those experiences. Because I know for me, I didn't even have a thing in my contract until I experienced a number of times that emergency. And now I'm like, okay, I need 3 to 4 days longer if I have more client work or stuff going on. But when I was a newbie, I didn't know what I didn't know about timelines until I learned. I learned the hard way. But I think, you know, if you're a potential client and a VA does not have something like that in their policies, contract, or talks about a timeline, have one of your own. Like, you know, when do I need to get this to you by in order for me to get it back for the timeline? Because newbie VAs don't know what they don't know. And if you're just starting with someone who is a newbie, who doesn't have the life experiences that we've accumulated over decades. I mean, Sid, even you've experienced it because I know I taught you that. You're welcome. But how far into our working relationship did you learn that lesson?
I feel like it wasn't our working relationship that taught me that lesson. I think you always hand me off things and I have plenty of time to get them done. I've never been stressed working on your work. Yeah.
I've been stressed. I've been stressed. Like, there's not enough time. And you're all like, it's fine. It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah, there isn't a time where you handed me off something at the last minute and needed it the next day. And I think also you had your business contract and I modeled my contract after your contract. So in your contract, there's like, hey, like, if you don't give me enough time to complete the work, like, I'm busy. I can't have a, you know, I can't necessarily always have a 24-hour turnaround time. And I think there's also a difference between me having that in my contract and then me, you know, once that happens to me being like, hey, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that is the experience piece where there's definitely moments where I'm like, oh, sure. Oh, I can do it versus like me being like, read the contract. This is what it says. But I think reactive versus proactive also comes into play in planning out a budget for your VA. Being proactive about that means being like, okay, my VA is going to work this many hours this month, and telling your VA like, hey, I don't want you to work over that because I can't pay you over that, you know? And also having a conversation about like, how long is this going to take, and having the VA update you when it's like, okay, I'm at halfway out of this many hours, I'm at this out of this many hours. And so I think that that's really important, because if you're reactive about that, you're getting the invoice and being like, oh, I don't know if I have that money for my VA. And that's a lose-lose. Like Bree was saying, that's a lose-lose, you know? And I think it took me a while to be like, you know what? I can't work if I'm not getting paid, you know? Because there comes a point where it's like, we were talking about this in an earlier episode, where like, yes, my work is important for the business to earn its money, but the business should be able to earn money without me too. You know, it came to a point where it's like, I'm working and this person just keeps getting my invoices. And it's like, well, this isn't good for either of us, you know? And so really it's setting that boundary is important for everybody involved.
I will definitely say, potential clients, if you wonder where every one of our standards and policies has come from, it's probably come from an experience that we had. Because I might have gotten my contract from my training program, but learning what each of those standards and boundaries actually meant in real life came from experience. I mean, I still have money on the books from like 2007 from clients who haven't paid. And that really did color how I moved forward in terms of payment and stuff. You know, I experienced tight turnarounds and late nights trying to get things done to my professional standards. And that colored my, I need 2 to 3 business days kind of thing. So I think if you are questioning why something's in a contract, it's probably because we experienced the flip side of that, not having it or not honoring it. And yeah, that little burn, there's a little bit of scars, you know, from all of those kinds of experiences. Anything else on reactive and proactive?
I was just going to do a quick highlight of like, when you're being proactive and you can get things to your VA in a timely manner, like that feeling you get when you have that buffer and you have those things already laid out and you're working ahead of things. And sure, you know what? Things might come up last minute. Maybe you go to an event and you want to do a social media post, but it's so much easier just to plunk that in and add that into what's already there, but and have a base, than it is to be scrambling all the time. Right. And then it also like frees up your mind and gives you like that blank space and that capacity for those creative moments and those new ideas for your business to come in when you're not always living in anxiety and wondering what's going on. And I had to learn for myself, and some of the things I still have to remind myself is when I'm handing off those things, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get my work done first and then I'll work on the stuff that they need. But I had to really flip that way of thinking for myself, and that if I get them what they need first, we're going to get twice as much work done because they're going to be doing their work at the same time that I'm doing mine. And so I had to make sure I wasn't the bottleneck and start putting that as my priority first. And I'm still not mastering it. Like, we all have our moments, right? Like, I know that there's times right now, even still, like, especially in our social media, where I feel like I'm the bottleneck. But it's just reminding myself that the more I can get to them, the more I can get to my team members, or the more that you can get to your VA, you're doubling down on your time. You're not taking away from it. And so flipping the way you think on that, about getting your stuff done first and then getting your stuff to your VA, can actually be a benefit if you do it first.
While you're working on your stuff, they're working on your stuff. So yeah.
Plus, you feel like you ate that frog, right? You got a win already. You already like celebrated something. Now you're on a good roll when you're going into your stuff. So I'm like, okay, already got that done. Now what else is next? Like, you can take on the world after that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When you talk about eating frogs. So in the other side of my business, I do accountability days. And for the longest time, I was like, well, if I get all the client work done, then I'll have the whole afternoon or whatever to do my stuff. But the whole reason I set up accountability days was because I wasn't doing my stuff. I wasn't holding myself accountable to doing the things. So I've had to flip that script and be like, okay, no, I got to do my things in this time because I need to say to somebody else, this is what I'm doing, and having them being like, so is it done? Did you do it? And Leanne and I crack the whip on each other all the time because it's so easy to put your stuff on the back burner to do the things. And I don't think that's just a VA thing. I think that's almost all business owners across the board. So Bree sharing that if a client is like, ooh, if I get it to my VA, they can be working on it while I'm doing other things. I think it really is an important piece of information. So thank you for sharing that. Let's transition to unrealistic expectations. It kind of goes with working to emergencies in that it's not always realistic that a VA can get something and work on it. Most of us will do our very, very best to meet an expectation, but sometimes we just can't. Right? It comes in too late. We're, you know, at dinner with friends, our computers are nowhere near us and it can't be done on our phones or whatever. So realistic expectations that you've experienced.
I've got a real simple one, but it drove me absolutely nuts. So because I do a lot of website work, the colors that people want to use look different on different screens. That's a known fact. However, I had a client who insisted that the color, let's just call it brown because it was basically brown, was not brown enough. And he wanted me to take the red out of the brown. And no matter what I did, it looked right on my screen. He didn't like it on his. And that's, talking colors is hard. After a while of going back and forth, I finally sent him to a website that has all the colors and said, send me the number of the color you want. And it wasn't even brown when he sent it to me. It was much more red. But the concept of taking a color out of another color is not, I mean, yes, you can play with it a little bit, but what I see on my screen isn't going to match what you see on your screen. And there's no way to make them match. I mean, you do web safe colors and that fixes a lot of it, but they're not going to match. He's like, well, it doesn't look right on this screen. I'm like, calibrate your screen. That's all I got for you is calibrate your screen. So it's simple things like that. It's like, I can't do anything about that. It's going to look different on different screens. How about you, Brie? I'm sure you've got a few.
I've had a few, and I've had like where like I keep speaking to Buffer, and it's one of my makes me so happy when we have it in place, which I think is why I keep bringing it up. But like even having best laid plans, we're like talking over with a client, okay, this is how we're going to set it up, and we have ages of time to get it all going, and still then like, okay, but I still need this, but I still need this, and then getting it like the afternoon before it's supposed to go out, and now I'm supposed to make it my emergency. I feel like that is a major unrealistic expectation for me, that you just gave it to me like an hour before I'm at the end of my day. And like, I don't know about you guys, but I try to do like time management and time blocking stuff, right? So like I plan my week out the week ahead of time. And when we have this plan in place, I'm like, okay, well, I had a slot here for it, but I didn't have the stuff. Okay, so I put another slot in here for it. I still didn't have the stuff. And I have other clients that I'm also helping doing and my own stuff that I'm trying to navigate and family stuff and all these other things, right? So it's like, I can only move those time slots so much. And I do leave windows in my week for things that come up or what's like, you know, free space where whatever needs to be done can be done in that time. But if we don't set up our week ahead of time or things like that too, like it's not supporting anybody. So also understanding that, like, it can't always just be last minute things. Like, there has to be some pre-prep stuff that comes ahead of time, and that we are, I mean, you guys aren't wanting to pay us full-time wages. So we also have to make exceptions for that and be able to work around that. That's part of the beauty of working this way. So there has to be accommodations and stuff on both sides to allow for that, because we can't be everybody's beck and call, or it's not going to work for anybody. So just being aware of that. And then also, if you're, you know, if you're in a position where you're looking to try something new and you're asking for new ideas, actually being open to new ideas. I've had clients who have been like, I want to try something new. I don't want to try traditional things. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. So what can I do to promote my business? And we came up with everything we could. Every other idea that there probably was out there, and every answer was a no. It's like, at some point you have to lean into something new. You can't get a different result if you're going to do the same things over and over again. And if you're looking for outside ideas, I get not all of them are going to be it. I never take offense if somebody says, that's not for me, or maybe not that one, but being open to something, trying something. Like, there's only so much that we can bring or come up with for ideas or provide as services if both hands are tied behind our backs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's why in my agreement, my client agreement, I'm like, I will bring you all of my knowledge and experience, and I will offer suggestions, but the buck stops with you. It's your business. You get to make the decisions, because yeah, you can give them all the stuff, but ultimately if they don't take it, run with it, do what needs doing with it, it's not going to happen.
I think for me, I've had a lot of experiences where a client has a very specific vision for how they want something to look, but they don't know how to communicate it with me. And that becomes really difficult for me because, you know, they're like, they give me some frame of reference and I'm like, okay. And then I make several different versions and all of them are like, no. And it's like and that's fine. Like, because it's we're revising. But I think at a certain point, it's like, I can't read your mind, you know, especially when it comes to design. I'm making social media posts. I'm doing graphics. I'm doing all of this. It's very visual stuff. And I think here's a tip that I have for clients. If you can't verbalize what you want, try mapping it out yourself, like visually. And if that means sketching, then it means sketching. If that means using like Canva or Figma or whatever to map out how you want it to look, I think that can be really helpful. Because otherwise, with visual design, there can be a barrier. Especially if you're like, you know, you have this thing in your head and in your head is exactly how you want it to look. Like, it's hard for me to make what's in your head exactly how I make it, because there's creativity involved. So I think that expectation of me, like I can bring to life a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas, but I can't necessarily bring to life as something that I don't know that I don't know, you know.
That brought to mind how I interact with the AI image creator, right? Because you gotta be able to say what you want, and then I don't, Leanne probably can do this way better than I can, but then you're like, okay, I like this, but I need this little change. And then it changes everything. And you're like, no, go back. And it's like, you know, just enough that it's not right, but not enough to be able to say what's wrong about it in a way that makes sense. So sorry, Sid, did not mean to lump you in with AI, but it was kind of like if I can't verbalize it to you, how am I going to verbalize it to an artificial intelligence, you know? And that's with copying Leanne's prompts, and changing it the way, you know, I need to. Because my idea of whimsy and AI's idea of whimsy, not always the same. So it's kind of understanding that too, that, you know, you do have to be able to communicate it, verbalize it, and say, yes, this with these tweaks would make that. But because, like, I know for me, like, I told my book coach, I'm like, when we get to editing, I need you to tell me what not to touch and then just the things to edit, because otherwise my brain will overthink it and I will change everything because I don't know what's in your head versus what's in mine. So we're going to walk through it and you're just going to be like, leave this, change this. And I think that can help with graphics too, because, like, I know there's some things where I was like, I love the colors, I love the font, I love how it all flows. Can we get a different butterfly or, you know, a different flower or something? So
we've been bringing examples of other images and the pieces that you, I like this out of this image, I like this out of this image, I don't like this and this. Even showing what you don't like is really helpful. When we're doing websites for people, we usually ask them, like, show us 5 websites you like and all the reasons why, and 5 websites you don't like and all the reasons why, to help give us a really clear picture of what they like before we build.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Because it gives you so much insight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, yeah. This is, I learned from y'all. Not that I do websites. That's Leanne's gig. I don't, and yours, Bria, I don't.
Still, send me 3 social media graphics you really like and 3 that you don't.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And tell me the reasons why, to help me get the feel of your style.
Yeah. And I think the really important part is the reasons why. And to be detailed in that, because I can look at, you know, the things you like all day and be like, okay, how are these similar? You know, what is this person seeing in these websites? But in the end, it's really the like, okay, I like that this website uses minimal color and this website is colorful, but I don't like that. Instead, I like the fonts in this one. You know, having that insight is really important.
And I don't think it's just for graphics or websites, right? I think it can go for a spreadsheet, right? Like, my brain thinks in spreadsheets versus Google Docs, or, you know, because I like to be able to hide the columns that I've completed and I've done, right? But not everyone thinks that way. So it's being able to say, this is how my brain works, or this is what I need out of the different things, because not every client is doing graphics or websites. Some are doing, like, you know, I want my landing page to have this feel, or I need it to have this workflow because I need to be able to find the information in a spreadsheet or whatever it looks like. You know, being able to give the why for something can be very helpful to, especially if it's coming late. Like, I'm so sorry it took me so long because I was waiting for this quote, or I don't know. Like, you know, but we can be very understanding if we know the why too. And that can help a lot in a lot of situations. Any other unrealistic expectations? I know one of mine is being at the beck and call. I'm not. Never have been, never wanted to be. Purposefully stayed away from clients who had that mindset that they needed their VA to be at their beck and call. And that's something that I've heard from clients who are like, this isn't working. And it's because they've expected their VA to be at their beck and call, and the VA going, well, you're not my only client. I've got other clients and they got me their stuff. And, you know, like, I'll fit you into the slot that we talked about the last time we talked, but new stuff needs to get incorporated and everything. So having that unrealistic expectation that you're the only client, or will always be the only client, that's not realistic for most VAs. We all have multiple clients, and Sid, you're in school, so Plus, we have lives, right? We're business owners. We have lives. We're doing things. And even a new BVA who may just be starting out will eventually get more clients, will eventually get busier, will eventually their response time will shrink or expand, right? Like, I know when I was down to like one or two clients, I could get things done a lot quicker because I had the bandwidth, I had the capacity. But then when I started filling my business and adding in other things, I lost that. My time gap got longer and longer. And so, you know, it's being aware that you're not the only horse in the stable kind of thing. So the next one is, the client's not ready. I know we've all had clients who maybe threw a project at you and you were like, yes, I can't wait to work on it. Radio silence. And I was guilty of that in the beginning. Sorry, Sid. But it is a real thing to, sometimes the idea is there, but it needs to marinate and it needs to like, right, the timing is off or life happens. And so it does go back to that communication piece, right? Like if life is happening to you and that's why you're not doing the things, we understand that. But if we're like, you said you wanted to do this now, what do we got to do for that? And it's just radio silence. Then we're like, wait, what just happened? And clients not being ready is a real thing. And how's that shown up for any of you?
I can go. I've had it showing up a few times. And the ones that come to mind, it's like you were saying, right? Where like they're excited. You have that project. You get the first little initial pieces going. And then you're waiting for the next piece from them. And, you know, now you're having to spend time nudging them. Now you're having to spend time following up with them. Now you're worried, like, is everything okay? You find out, yeah, they're okay. They're just like working on some stuff. They'll get it to you when they can. But the thing is, when you do that, now, by the time, like, I've had clients who's been like a month or a month and a half, and now they come back. Well, now I have to spend time, or my team member has to spend time getting back into that frame of mind, getting back into that project and whatever else. And that's going to cost you even more time, right? Like, the more that we have to like pick it up, get refamiliar with it, and things like that, we're going to end up charging you for that time because we were in that headset. We were ready to go and everything was ready. And so, you lose that momentum, you lose those results you're looking for, you lose that kind of all the good things that are going to come from it. And just even checking in maybe with yourself, like, oh, do I have all these pieces? Or if you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, talking that out with your support person on what that is or what's coming up for you instead of holding it can also be helpful. Like if there's a block for some reason that's coming up, maybe there's a piece of it that you thought that was yours, but they could actually take it on, and removing that makes it easier for you to do it. Or even just talking it out and getting a clear idea of the plan. Or I've had a client who was like, you know what, I really want to do this project, but I need you to break it down into small steps and only tell me the next two steps. Because if they saw the whole list of the steps to make a course and launch it or whatever it is, then they would get too overwhelmed and they would get shut down. So we created a process and we only invited them in on the next two steps, and that's all they saw. So finding really like realistic ways to work in that way or coming up with solutions might actually help you get the progress versus shutting down and hiding out or whatever the reason is that stops you from getting that forward progress. Talking that out with your person, they might have some ideas on how to support you with that and get that going for you. There's a reason why that project came up. There's a reason why you were excited about it, right? There's something advantageous out of getting it done. So let's see what we can do it. Sorry, that was more pep talky, I think, than story, but
it's right on because, you know, we've only touched a little bit in a past episode about the mindset piece. There's a lot that goes on in an entrepreneur's mind, and it's not always the validity of the idea. You know, I know for me, it was perfectionism. It was, well, I can do it better if I do it myself than if I try to explain it, right? And I found myself, you know, when I did let Sydney take things on, I found myself fine-tuning things and not explaining why I was doing that. And then it was like, well, I'm just going to take it back because if I got to do this much work, then why am I handing it off? But there is a mindset piece that, you know, perfectionism likes to lie to us. It's our ego protecting us from those really creative, juicy things that are really going to make our business go to the next level. And this is even more pep talky, Brie. But it's, you know, having the team member to be like, okay, I see where you're going with this, and I'm so right on with you. Let's do this. And then you can literally talk yourself out of it because it is scary AF, right? You are just like, oh my God, if that really were to happen, what would that do for me? What would that do for my business? How do I need to change and adjust to be that person for that to happen? I know because I've experienced this in this whole year, right? I mean, I launched a podcast, for goodness sakes. Like, this was a dream that I had for years, years. And when it finally came to fruition, it was scary AF. Like, I was like, now I'm putting myself out there. I have to keep that going, right? It's, you have to get into a mindset of, and it's not just what do I hand off or can I accept the help that's coming? It's, if I open up that space, am I ready to step into it? Am I ready for the snowball effect? Because we've all done something that has been like our zone of genius. We're like, oh, yes, this is, oh, it feels really good. And we're doing it. We're in it. And it's like, oh, crap. And you step back because it is so scary. And hiring a VA can feel that way. Giving the VA the stuff that is, could be the block that's holding you back, the safety net that's like, well, I can't leap into my genius because I got to do these things. Oh, well, my VA is doing those things. Now what's my excuse? You know, or it could be the creative download because the universe likes to fill a void. And, you know, when you hand stuff off, it's like all that creative what's next. That's even more scary because it's usually why you got into business in the first place. It's usually passion driven. And when you don't have all of the excuses, all the blocks that have held you back, then it's, I'm the block. I'm holding myself back. And sometimes taking a look in the mirror and being like, okay, I got to get out of my own way. That's just as much a part of the journey as handing stuff off or releasing the program or sending the newsletter, right? There's that parallel journey that we all go on as entrepreneurs where it's like, right, there's the doing and the handing off and the actual goal pieces, but it's that like personal journey that we go on that where we change and we become that person that can go, I did it. I reached the goal line, and it's not the end. It's just another beginning. And that can feel really scary in so many ways. So I guess my take on clients not being ready is, are you ready to step onto the journey that it takes? Because your VA is going to push you. I mean, good VAs are going to nudge you. You said you wanted to do this. Are we still doing that? Are we going in a different direction? What's that direction, right? We're going to be your sounding board, your cheerleader, your nudger, right? Your reminder, your accountability, like you said, right? Someone holding a mirror up to your face, it's like, get that out of my face if I'm not ready for it. But if you're ready for it, we're going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen. Because we want it as badly for you as you want it for yourself. And I know for my clients, I'm like, I can see where you're scared. I can see what's going on. I can see the beliefs in your head that are telling you not to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. And I'm going to hold the excitement and the space for you until you're on board with me. And that's going to look like getting me your stuff, doing the work that you got to do. And let me tell you, it's hard on both sides, because I've been on both sides. And, you know, I needed Sydney to kind of be like, you said, come on, I'm going to take it. Give it to me, because you can't do what you need to do if you don't. And so, thank you, Sydney.
You're welcome.
That was a lot of woo-woo, rah-rah. So... And I know that I feel that way about every single listener listening to this podcast. Even if we don't work together, that is what I want for you. I want you to find that fit that's going to want you to succeed in your business as much as you do. And I'm not speaking for myself, only for myself. I see all of your faces like, yes.
Yes.
We want that too. And most VAs do. That's why we got into this business, right? Because this is our zone of genius. This is the way we support the changes that clients bring to the world. I mean, I look at my calling as the ripple effect, right? I'm not going to change the world doing all the things my clients do, but in supporting them to do it, it ripples outward.
My favorite thing to tell my clients is, go ahead and make a mess. Keep your genius, make your mess. I'll clean it up on the backside. It's fine. And the number of clients are like, really? Okay, thank you. Let's go. Is amazing, because it is the admin stuff, the keeping it clean, the making it look right, that's holding them back. Yeah. So go be your genius. I'll fix the backside.
Anything else? Because I think we have to wrap up. Okay, so thank you all for being here today with us. This is the final episode of season 2, but please join us because season 3 is coming and we've got lots of ideas and way more information to share with you. So for now, it's goodbye, but we'll see you soon. If you have any questions at all, please email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Follow one of our links in the link tree, and we will see you when we return for season 3. Take care. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.